he said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid. Though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You're not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because you are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and as hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house." And he said to me, "Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen." Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away. And I went, in bitterness, and in the anger of my spirit, with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Abib, near the Kabar River, and there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, Get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory I'd seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. Then the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, Go, shut yourself inside your house, and you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, though they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let him listen. And whoever will refuse, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and you have tuned into the True Stream. I'm privileged to have this opportunity to come to you guys from time to time, visit with you guys for a while. So, how are you guys doing today? I hope all you guys are hanging tough. I know that this whole specter of the New World Order hangs over our nation, and the nations of the world is like a big black cloud. But I just want to give you guys some encouragement. Be of good cheer, for our Savior has overcome the world, and we are going to be overcomers, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And I mean that. And most of all, the Lord means that, and the Lord tells the truth. Guarantee you, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I am going to see you on the banks of that heavenly Jordan. And we're gonna have some great conversations, I'm sure of it. But you guys hang tough during this time, because it's only gonna get darker, it's only gonna get worse and before it gets better. But we do have hope. We have a great hope. We are going to make it, we are going to make it, we are going to make it through this. I personally believe that as the time draws near, and we, you know, if some of us are required to lay our lives down in service to the Lord, I honestly believe from my heart that Christ is going to give us strength, that he is going to be there for us and give us an amazing courage to speak what we need to speak at the time we need to speak it. And that if it comes down to we have to lay our lives down for our Lord and Savior, that he is going to give us the strength to do what we need to do, because the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I believe that with all my heart. I didn't put any intro music to the beginning of this, because to be honest, guys, I just spent 45 minutes recording stuff, and I use all the Audacity program to do this podcast, and It just crashed on me. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe I just recorded 45 minutes worth of stuff, and it just shut down on me. And since I didn't save it, you know, I can't retrieve it. So I'm just starting from scratch. Maybe, you know, it was disappointment is God's appointment, and maybe what I was doing wasn't from the Lord, and he's like, scratch that, and he just wanted to do it over. So I don't know, but I just wanted to tell you guys that all of you guys who are tuning in and downloading this podcast, I just want to tell you that I really appreciate you. because if you guys weren't downloading and listening, I would not have a reason to do this. And I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you guys listening. It's an awesome thing to have an avenue for your gift. And, you know, you guys have given me, you know, a place to share my thoughts, my insights, to bear fruit and feel like, you know, somebody's enjoying it. I just spent probably the last 3 years of my life speaking and witnessing to a lot of the guys at my work, and it was like beating my head up against a brick wall, to be honest with you, because a lot of these guys, they just really didn't appreciate it. But it's a funny thing, because the Lord works in mysterious ways with people. Those 3 years of witnessing to those guys and just having them resist and resist, you know, to the point where, you know, it seemed like I became like a droning voice in the background. And a lot of times, you know, they crack jokes, you know. We all get along and we're friends. But, you know, there's that little bit of mocking, you know. Well, it's just Amos, you know. He's just going on about that Christian stuff again, you know. So it strengthens you, you know. So I want to encourage you guys just to, if you're having difficulties with people, just hang in there, because the Lord might be sharpening you for something. And I do believe that, man, I really did. I dedicated a lot of time and a lot of effort I put into these guys, and, you know, trying to prepare them, because I work with them, I got to know them. And I felt like, you know, in some way they were given to me as a responsibility to, I don't know. I really don't know. But I just feel like the experiences that I've had in the last 3 years have prepared me for this this podcast. And hopefully you guys are enjoying the benefits of that. But I hope you guys tuned in to my last podcast, Conspiracy Deceived on Purpose. I know the things that I said in that podcast aren't the most popular things in the world. You know, you got Alex Jones, who's the 800-pound gorilla of conspiracy out there and fighting the New World Order. And I certainly don't want to take a side against people who are fighting the New World Order, because I'm doing the same thing. But I just wanted to give people an alternate perception. I'm always digging. I'm always digging, because on one side, I don't think the Illuminati and the New World Order group know everything. But at the same time, I don't think they're stupid by any stretch of the imagination, because they're being guided by Lucifer, who is the master deceiver. So I'm not really giving them credit. I'm really just, you know, looking at the enemy, Lucifer, and saying, you know what? He's more subtle and crafty than any of the other creatures in the garden. And when Lucifer is compared to God, he's nothing, because God created him, and Lucifer has boundaries that he can't break out of, and that's got to frustrate him, you know, because God created all the laws of the universe and everything is fixed and he can't break out of it. But he's, you know, compared to us, it's kind of like Lucifer compared to us, he's above us. He's deceptive. He's the master deceiver. We're no match for him without God and without Christ, our Savior. But Lucifer compared to God, there's no comparison. God is infinite and Lucifer is finite. But I, you know, not to get confusing, but the point that I'm trying to make is that it's not that I'm giving the Illuminati so much credit, it's I'm just allotting that craftiness from Lucifer that he's giving them the keys to how to manipulate people. And so because I know that, I dig deeper. I don't just take what's given to me on the surface. you know, and that's part of the reason why I did that last podcast, because it something just smells funny, you know. Something just really smells funny about this, and it just doesn't jive with me, and I don't know what to do about it. And I'm just putting this out there for people, because all I ask you to do, I'm not asking you to say, you know what, Amos is the man, he knows what's going on, I take his word as you know, gold, you know. I'm not asking you to do that. All I'm doing is I'm really asking you to just take a little bit, little part of your mind, like a filing cabinet, and set aside a file away, and just keep what I'm telling you in mind, in case, you know, certain events come up in the future, you can pull those files back out and say, you know what, there's something Amos said that, you know, is starting to make a lot of sense now. And that's what I'm really trying to do, is just give you like a different look at it, you know. That's why God gave us two eyes, you know, so we can see in 3D, you know, because if we just had one eye, it would be flat. It's that other eye that gives us that depth perception, and there's safety in the multitude of counsel. So I'm just giving you what I'm seeing, and you've got people like Ziggy Beats over at the Fourth Watch, you got Frank Lordy with Salvation Revelation, you got Chris White with Nowhere to Run. All these people are giving you different points of view, and we all have the same Holy Spirit. So hopefully the things that we're digging for and the things that we're sensing in our spirits and that we're bringing to you, hopefully this is giving you more depth perception into the issue, because Satan is the master deceiver. And he is working some kind of plan. The Bible says that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. Now, I take that very seriously. I take that to mean, you know, that what God's telling us is like, wake up. You are going to need the discernment of the Holy Spirit big time to not be deceived by this. The Bible talks about that Satan is the dragon, and it says the dragon deceives the whole world. The whole world. Before I really became a Christian in 2001, I've told you guys before, I went to Christian school for like 3.5 years when I was in high school. My parents put me into a Christian school, so I had a lot of biblical background. My parents used to make me do devotions, you know, reading passages of scripture every day, reading a little devotional booklet that had little mini messages, and we had to read our Bible. We did family Bible reading. I had a lot of biblical knowledge and everything. And even during that time when I really didn't know the Lord or I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I used to pray, because that section of scripture where it says the dragon leads the whole world astray, that he deceives the whole world, I used to pray so many times, God, please don't let me be deceived. Please don't let me be deceived. Please keep me safe. And I really believe that God has answered that prayer, because so far, I mean, I've gotten myself into some serious messes, but God has delivered me. He has not let me fall beyond catching me. And sometimes God has allowed me to get into certain things, you know, and then he pulls me out so that I have a look at it, you know. When he needs me to understand something, sometimes he'll let me fall into it a little bit, you know. And I went through a huge period of time, probably like 3-4 years, where I was constantly oppressed because I was just soaking myself in this New World Order information. I was a member of Alex Jones' Prison Planet. I was downloading all his movies. I had hours and hours of conversation of him on his radio show, interviewing people. And that's all I would listen to. And I had to get out of it after a while because it was so oppressive that, you know, I almost couldn't function. It was burning me out. And God was teaching me something by that. He was teaching me that I needed his word to strengthen me. and that I wasn't going to make it if I wasn't filling up my lamp with oil, and that oil comes from His Word. So on that point, I want to encourage you guys to stay in God's Word. Don't make this New World Order information your whole diet of what you listen to. You've got to stay in the Word. Last night while I was working, I listened to the book of Ezekiel, and it was amazing. It was amazing because every time I do it and I start listening to the Bible, I'm like, wow, Lord, You're the only one that tells the truth. And as the book was progressing, I was sitting there thinking, you know, man, maybe I should do, like, go through the book of Ezekiel and do a teaching thing where, you know, I expound upon the verses. But then as I thought about it, I'm like, you know, as long as you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the best thing to do is to just listen to the book of Ezekiel or read the book of Ezekiel, because the progression of it is perfect. It just takes you through and from one thought to the next, it progresses. And by the time you're done the book, you got the whole picture going on of what God wanted to get across to you. So, you know, God's Word is amazing. I guess I could, you know, if I did do a teaching thing, go through it and teach or just expound upon it, I guess I could give you a few of my own insights. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher, you know, and God knows your mind. He knows your own individual, I'm going to coin a word here, mind print. You know, just like you look down on your finger and you see your own unique individual fingerprint, you have your own mind print. You have your own neural pathways that have been made through your life. And just like roads, you know, and we use certain roads while we're out in our car to get somewhere, that's how your thoughts are. And He knows exactly how your thoughts work and how you make connections between things. And that's kind of what's really awesome, because that's how the Lord makes you know that He has a personal relationship with you. Because He will reveal things to you in a way that you can't explain to anybody else. You know? He makes connections in your mind that uses your own individual thought process. And it's pretty awesome. And when you have the Holy Spirit and you're reading the Bible, if you keep putting the Word in you and you keep reading different sections of God's Word, He's going to make those connections for you. And it's awesome. It just, I can't express enough how important it is to read the Word of God. I purchased a 77 CD set of Max MacLean narrating the New International Version of the Bible. And this was before I got a Microsoft Zune. And I drive for a living at work, and I would pop those CDs in. And over the last 3 years, you know, just listening to the Word of God, I can't even explain to you how many times I'm sitting there and I've heard a certain passage of Scripture several times, and all of a sudden just something pops out at me. I make a connection because I listened to the book of Ezekiel the night before, and then I'm listening to Revelation. And then this connection, you know, pops out at me. You know, I remember, for instance, one thing that I can bring to that comes to mind is the parable of the strong man and the robber, and how Jesus said, you know, you have to bind the strong man in the house before the robber can come in and rob the house. So, you know, that was a connection that I made. And it was pretty amazing, because I started thinking about, and I mentioned this in the opening of the Abyss podcast, that I made that connection. You know, well, Christ says He comes like a thief in the night. Now, granted, He doesn't come as a thief in the night to those who are watching Him, because He says, "You, my brethren, are not of the night. You are children of the day." And that day won't overtake you as a thief. But He does come like a thief in the night to those who aren't watching, to the world, who aren't ready for his return. But, you know, binding up the strong man and binding up Satan so that, you know, God could do His work by sending out the gospel. You know, I've made connections like this between the Word. So To make a short story long, I just want to encourage you guys to get into the Word, because that's what's going to strengthen your spirit, man, to stand against this new world order and to know that you have a hope and to know the light. And it's not, I'll be honest with you, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know this, it's not a comfortable thing sometimes to get into the Word, because the Word is a light. And it is going to expose those areas of your heart that you might not be so willing to see. That's why it's so important to be humbled before the Lord and to receive the love of the truth. To receive the love of the truth. In other words, you love the truth and you'll let it come to you. You'll receive any truth because you love it. And that's all you want. That's why it's so important to be humbled before the Lord and to receive the love of the truth, so that when God speaks and He shows you something, you can be receptive, knowing that He has paid your penalty and paid the price that you would have had to pay. He is your salvation. He is your Redeemer. He's redeemed you by His blood and reconciled you to the Father. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is that bridge, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And knowing that, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, it makes you want to repent and confess it to the Lord, to bring it out into the light. But it's not an easy thing sometimes, because the Word of God is a sword, and it will point out your faults and your sins. But at the same time, it cleans you up, because it produces that godly sorrow in you, that longing to clear yourself, to repent, and to be clean. And it gives you, it causes you to want to thirst after righteousness. And it will do its work. It's like a medicine. You know, you take medicine and you don't know what the chemical compound is. You don't know, you know, the scientifics of it, but you take it and it heals you. You know, that's the way the Bible is. Even if you don't understand what you're reading, just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. Read it over and over again. If you have CDs, listen to it. So I would encourage you that if you have a hard time sitting down and reading the Word, go out and spend $100 and get you a nice CD set, like the Listener's Bible from Max McLean. I really like his narration. And listen to it, because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's an amazing thing. So hopefully that encouraged somebody out there, and maybe could light a little fire under somebody there to go out and do that. That if you're not an avid reader, go out and buy a CD set, and then you can put it on your Zune or your iPod or whatever device you might be using, if you don't want to just listen to the CDs. I put it on my Zune, and it's been immensely useful, because now when I'm in my car, I just plug it in through the stereo and bam, I hit a button and I can go to whatever. I don't even have to worry about changing the CDs anymore. But let's get started here. I've rambled for about 20 minutes, but I think that was helpful to somebody. And this podcast is called Conspiracy, the Seeds of Rebellion. And basically what I want to do is present something to you that you can file away. Just talk a little bit about the Freemasons and what that has to do with revolution and rebellion. I visited several sites. I did research on this, because what I was looking for, I put in the search engine Freemasons and Rebellion, Freemasons and Revolution. But you know what? I really can't present anything to you guys that you probably don't already know. And I really didn't come up with anything specific. There were several sites that talked about how the Freemasons fomented the French Revolution, how they fomented the American Revolution. But then you have the quote by Albert Pike, which basically said that there would be a there would be two world wars, and then many revolutionary wars before they brought about their final plan. Let me read something here to you. This is out of Newswatch magazine, the January-February 2003 edition. It says, there is an ancient organization that manifested itself on May 1st, 1776 in Bavaria, Germany. The modern-day founder was a former Jesuit priest by the name of Adam Weishaupt. He hated religion and had become a worshiper of Lucifer, or Satan, the devil. He founded the modern version of the ancient order of the Illuminati. He had specific goals that were to be kept secret and revealed only to the most trusted members of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry that had also rejected the God of the Bible. He required absolute secrecy from those he initiated into his order. It became deadly serious to finally be shown the ultimate aims of the order, which are, number one, abolition of all ordered government, number two, abolition of private property, number three, abolition of inheritance. You can't own anything or pass it down. Number four, abolition of patriotism. Number five, abolition of all religion. Number six, abolition of the family, including marriage, morality, and the proper education of children. And seven, the creation of a world government. This is revolutionary, especially when you're looking at the abolition of patriotism. Let's talk about that for a second, the abolition of patriotism, which is kind of interesting because it seems to me they're accomplishing this through what they're doing with the war on terror around the world, you know, with the rest of the world looking at us like, you know, we have a president that's an idiot and we're going in and starting all these problems in Iraq. And, you know, we just do not have the adoration of the world anymore. Not that we should be looking for that, you know, to be adored by the world, but, you know, we're enduring a lot of scorn now for what the direction our country is going in. And, you know, we got shows like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, which, you know, I guess if you're part of that whole thing, you know, you can think it's kind of funny, but I think it's pretty serious, so I don't think we should be laughing at it. But it is downing patriotism. People are just saying, you know what, it's a joke. You know, so just by what they're doing around the world, you know, nobody's able to even take pride in the country anymore and what it stands for. And while we're on the subject, I want to mention this. Just know this. This is a little nugget of information for you. Just know that Satan uses mockery as a tool, because that's why in the Proverbs, God said, God doesn't like mockery. He says in Proverbs, you know, he has very strong words against mocking and mockers, that they're basically fools, that only a fool mocks. And that's what they do all day long. That's what this whole country is about. I mean, even myself, I'm at work. People are busting on people. They're slandering people. They're making fun of people. They're making fun of so-and-so. They're making fun of the government. You know, and that's what they do on The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. Now, granted, they're making a point, but since they're using mockery, nobody's going to take it seriously. It's just become a big joke. And it's very subtle, because on the one hand, they want you to sit there and think, oh, well, we're only doing this as a form of satire, and it's driving a point home. But on the other hand, what you don't see is the fact that you're not able to take it serious anymore, because they're just joking about it all the time. So there's an effect there that's not healthy for the whole situation, because people should literally be deadly serious about this. This is our lives. This is our country. We have a God in heaven who's looking down upon the children of men and watching us, and is horrified and his heart's breaking over what he's seeing his children doing For those of you that have children out there, how would you feel if your children just didn't listen to you anymore? You were totally irrelevant to them, and all you had was their best interests at heart. You wanted to protect them. You wanted to raise them up. You wanted to give them your wisdom. And what if they just ignored you? You know? What if they just turned their backs on you and said, you know what? I don't even think I even have a father. You know? No. That I evolved from monkeys. That's not my dad. I mean, that might be a simple explanation, but it's crazy. You get my point. It's absolutely insane. Imagine how God feels creating the earth, creating all the wonderful, absolutely accurate laws of physics down to a perfect T, creating this world for us, creating the earth and all the lush greenery, all the various creatures in the ocean and in the sky and all the creepy crawly things and how it all works together. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing to open your eyes and look around and see all this stuff, and yet mankind has turned their back on their creator. It's rebellion. Satan's about rebellion. So if you think about that, you would think, you know, hey, these guys, Freemasons, Rosicrucian, Skull and Bones, all these secret societies, Bohemian Grove, they're all followers of Lucifer. And Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is all about rebellion against God. And that's what this is all boiling down to. These Freemasons, they keep fomenting rebellion. They keep doing it. They keep fomenting revolutions against the manifested authority. You know, because any kind of authority represents the throne of God, and they just keep usurping it and rebelling against it so that they can create, you know, so that what they do is they're evolving into what they want. You know, evolution is in revolution. It's our evolution. And it has to do with cycling and spinning, you know. It's revolutions on an engine, the RPMs, the engine spinning. It's having to do with cycling things. I remember when I was in the Navy in boot camp down in Orlando back in, I'm telling my age here, back in 87. And I remember when they used to exercise us, it was called cycling. You know, because they kept taking us through a series of events and series of exercises that would bring us into submission. And that's kind of what they're doing with the world events, is they're cycling us through these revolutions, and out of it comes another entity, and then they have another revolution until they're chipping away at it until they have their world government. But on the subject of rebellion, I want to present to you this. Could it be that people that are exposing the New World Order are actually unknowingly, unwittingly, not knowingly, but are working for the agenda of the New World Order? We're trying to fight the New World Order, but it's kind of like in karate, you use the enemy's energy against them. So you might be thinking, I'm going to let that sit for a second. What do you think about that? What do you think? Think that sounds crazy? That I'd actually sit here and accuse those who are fighting the New World Order to be unwittingly actually advancing the agenda of the New World Order? Have you ever considered that? You know, the enemy works with flattery and pride. And that's something that, you know, you got to be willing to look at things from all facets, from all sides. You know, you don't just look at a building from one side, or it's two-dimensional. You look at it from all sides in three dimensions. And that's something that we got to look at with this issue. We've got to be willing to consider things that we might not be willing to see. Because it's all fun and dandy, and it feels so powerful and empowering to be fighting this new world order. And we're like, oh, yeah, you know. We're like Rocky. We got the boxer up against the ropes. We're fighting this new world order. And look at all of us coming out of the woodwork. And look at all the stuff on YouTube. They're exposing it. And we're hitting it, you know. Did you ever wonder? It's either one of two things. Either Illuminati don't have the power that they purport that they have, or we're playing into their plan somehow. Because you would think that for the last 6.5 years or so, however long it's been since 9/11, all this stuff's coming out of the woodwork, and they haven't really done a major false flag terrorist operation to create more chaos so they can get more control, to shut us down. Think about it. The beast wants to reveal itself. They want people to know their symbols and their language. What better way than to let an army of individuals who are fighting against them do it for them? They want chaos. Do you think they want to keep carrying out terrorist activities? It's too much risk. It would be easier to allow people just to keep exposing the New World Order, foment that hatred, foment that revolution. Isn't that what they did with the French Revolution? Isn't that what they did with the American Revolution, the Freemasons? Because something's been coming to me about this whole Freemason thing. Their you know, their classic call sign is rebellion and revolution. And yet that's what we're doing. We're exposing this new world order, and we have to. It's kind of like, you know, playing a chess game, and you know, and there's certain chess pieces that got your king in check, and there's no moves you can make except one or two moves. I mean, we're at a position on the chessboard where we have to expose the new world order, because if we don't, then people are going to be totally unaware and just slide right into that new world order, right into the new age, and they won't even know what hit them. So we have to expose a new world order. But the thing that I'm trying to say is that we should expose the new world order more smartly, like with more wisdom. Exposing the new world order, but also... See, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Because as we expose the New World Order, anger is going to grow. And pretty soon, it's going to break out. And something's going to go down. People are just going to get sick and tired of it. You know? But if we don't do anything, they're just going to keep marching in, passing the laws, doing what they're doing. You know, so what do? This is something that I'm putting out there. I'm, you know, I don't have all the answers. What do? You know, but we could have an army of podcasters, an army of Alex Jones people. And if all we're doing is just sitting around talking about things, nothing's ever going to get done. Talk, talk, talk. You know, they're probably laughing at us. Let them all talk. Let them sit there and complain, bitch, and moan. Let them talk. Talk is cheap. Talk does nothing. So what are we going to do? You know, if we say we're going to do something, we're terrorists. You know, they're even getting to the point with the H.R. 1955 Act where even actually using, you know, your influence just in speaking is considered, could be considered a terrorist act. A new world order denotes that something old has to be swept away to make way for the new. So what better way to break down the old order than to draw people in with the conspiracies, get them all pissed off, foment a revolution, You know, we're always talking about bring down the New World Order. Well, the New World Order is not here yet. We're in the building phase, the preparation phase for it. Oh, it's been being prepared for a long time. But it's not fully here until their man, Antichrist, Lucifer in the flesh, is here. So we're still in the preparation phase. And you know, we got people saying, bring down the New World Order. Okay, bring down the New World Order. What are you going to put in its place? I think that's a valid question. What are we going to put in its place? Have we ever thought about that? Because if we bring down the New World Order, if we bring down the government, we bring down the old order of things, there's going to be chaos. And what's going to happen then? Doesn't the Freemason doctrine and dogma say, out of the ashes of chaos will come a new world order? I think it does. And do we want to help them create the chaos? Because if we just keep exposing the new world order, and they're putting it in our face. You know, they cut 5 internet cables, and then they tell us it's an anchor of a ship blowing around. That's crazy. I mean, that's just all out just a slap in the face that we're so stupid that we can't tell that if 5 internet cables were cut undersea, we're supposed to think it's an anchor. You know? I mean, let's take another thing, for example. I don't even know if you guys caught this, but when President George Bush was on the USS Abraham Lincoln on May 1st, 2003, they put up a mission accomplished banner. Did you catch what that was all about? The news media was putting it off to all the sleeping sheeple that it was George Bush saying the war was over. No, it had nothing to do with the war being over. Nothing to do with the war being over. You know what that was? That was an announcement that they had started World War III. That they had done the deed. They went over into Baghdad, caused the fall of Baghdad. Now our army was going to have to be in there for a extended period of time. And our army being in the Middle East was like a spark in the middle of a tinderbox that was going to eventually ignite World War III. And what they were really saying was, mission accomplished, guys. We did the deed that's going to start World War III, and nobody can stop it. It was on the High Witchcraft Day of May 1st. That's their high unholy Sabbath. And then George Bush had the nerve to get out there and quote messianic scriptures, just like Christ did when he announced his ministry as the Messiah. George Bush on the USS Abraham Lincoln, which kind of represents freedom because Abraham freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. So it kind of represents freedom. And he quoted the scriptures. I say to those who are in darkness, come out. I say, you know, I preach freedom to the captives. Did anybody pick up on that? You know, that wasn't about them actually thinking that the mission was accomplished and the war was over and their job was done. That was a mockery in your face saying we started World War III. We knocked over the biggest domino that's going to start this domino effect to ignite World War III, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mission accomplished. It's done. Because they're of the mentality of Lucifer. Lucifer is the false light bearer. He's not the light itself, he's the light bearer. Just like the sun is the actual light, but the moon reflects the light. Lucifer is the light bearer, he's not the light himself. And Lucifer's mentality is, well, at least what he's lying to mankind, is he wants mankind to think, you know, hey, I'm setting you free. I say to the prisoners, be free. I say to those who are in darkness, come out. So it was that whole Illuminati mentality. Hey guys, we're going to start World War III. We're going to foment this revolution. And when we're done, mankind will be free of the ideology of God. He'll realize that man is God. And this is the process that is going to take place. Because the whole idea of these revolutions is to keep spinning around the events until mankind slowly climbs that crooked staircase of the 33 degrees, the 33 lumbar sections of the spine, until you come to the top and you're illuminated. I know that's probably confusing, but they have this theology that, you know, the 33 steps of the spine till you get to the top in your brain, you know, where you have eyes in your head, you're illuminated supposedly. And they call it the crooked staircase, and that represents the 33 degrees of masonry. It's crazy. You know, it's insane, all these things that they believe. They delve into numbers and sacred geometry and all this, and I don't want to know what's under the hood. I just want to drive the car. You know, it's kind of like a little kid who sees a helium balloon, and they look up at it, and they're like, oh, Daddy, this is so cool. And they have all this wonderment in their eyes. And then you just sit there, and you pop their balloon, so to speak, and say, oh, son, don't have any wonder about it. It's actually helium, and here's the chemical formula for helium. And this is how rubber is made, and we put the helium into the balloon, and helium is lighter than air, and you give this kid all this science until they have no wonder left. Till the kid's just sitting there and his smile's wiped off of his face. He's like, oh. Pretty much like, thanks for ruining it. I liked it better when I was just looking at the balloon going up in the air in amazement. You know? Yeah, these guys tune into stuff in the universe, and they're trying to dig under the hood of what God's done, and they'll never understand it all. But Satan, you know, he keeps trying to bring them in deeper and deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole. You know, and it's all about trust in the Lord. But they're fomenting this rebellion, they're fomenting this revolution, because they want to break things down, to bring this new world order in. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that day shall not come until the rebellion occurs. And then the man of lawlessness is revealed. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians verse 3. Because the first verse talks about concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, that's the second coming. So in context of the second coming, Paul's talking about a great rebellion has to happen first. And then the man of lawlessness is revealed. And then when you add on top of it all this 2012 hysteria that even A&E and these networks, the History Channel, are all jumping on board talking about 2012 and the prophecies of the Mayans. Who did the Mayans worship? The serpent, the plumed serpent, a serpent god. What is it, Quetzalcoatl or something? And when you think about this, you got the prophecies of the Mayans landing on 2012, and you see them fomenting this rebellion. You can see what's coming, guys. You can see it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You just got to have the Holy Spirit putting the word in there. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. You know, God reveals it to you. It's not too difficult. So, let me read you something here. I was looking through some magazines. I have an extensive collection of Newswatch magazines from David J. Smith's ministry down in, what is that? It's Waxahachie, Texas. This is from Newswatch magazine, April 15th, 1999. And he's talking about W. Cleon Skousen, who was... let's see here. I think he was It says, but that's not all. Let me just read it to you. Look what appeared in the congressional record uncovered by W. Cleon Skousen for the FBI while serving as an assistant to J. Edgar Hoover. It's concerning the planned complete destruction of the United States as we know it to merge us into a novus ordo seclorum, a one-world government. This is from the book The Naked Communist, written by W. Cleon Skousen. And there's 45 points here that are covered. I'm not going to read them all, but I just put an asterisk by the ones that I thought were pretty pertinent. So let me just read these off to you. These are some of the points of how they plan to complete the destruction of the United States to merge us into this one world government. Convince the U.S. to accept coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. This would give them free movement to spread international communism, which was the seen enemy of the West. Convince the U.S. to capitulate or give in preference to engaging in an atomic war. To permit free trade. Now, when you hear this one, think about the North American Union that's coming. Think about NAFTA, GATT. And all that, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of whether items could be used for war. Now, just think about the military division that we just sold to the British. I can't remember right offhand what the name of that was. It was something defense. I can't remember. I remember Bush giving a speech, United Defense or something like that. They sold it to the British. So, you know, there are items of war that are being sold. Provide U.S. foreign aid to all nations, thus draining the wealth of our nation and causing steady long-term inflation to debauch our currency or to bring it down, to make it worthless. Grant recognition of Red China with admission to the United Nations, thus expelling nationalist China from the organization. President Richard Nixon accomplished this for his bosses for the Illuminati. Set up East and West Germany as separate states. When near completion of their plan for world government, they would reunify Germany as an electrifying overture of peace. Let's see here. Capture one or both political parties in the U.S. And now you can understand why, no matter which party's in office, they continue towards socialism. Especially the next president, which would probably be Hillary Clinton, and was very prevalent under the previous Clinton, Bill Clinton, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions. And this is how they do it. By claiming their activities violate their civil rights. Civil rights is a major cover to advance the cause of capturing America. Get control of the school systems. Use them for socialism and current communist propaganda. Get control of teachers' associations. And now you can see why the federal government is so against church-related schools, because they can't change your child's mind to accept globalism, the New World Order. And let's keep going here, rolling on. Infiltrate the press, including TV, and the nightly news anchors for all the major TV networks are members of the Subversive Council on Foreign Relations. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures, and they have succeeded completely in that. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression, nude movies, books, perverted art. Control art critics and directors of museums. Their plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, and meaningless art. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. It's pretty smart, pretty tricky stuff. This project is completely accomplished with the, attending moral decay that precedes the collapse of a nation. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography in books, magazines, motion pictures, TV. That's what I was talking about, how they pelt the nation with filth, which takes away God's blessing. which paves the way for Antichrist, paves the way for more laws. Our Constitution was set up basically as a framework to guide a moral society. And as you get more and more immoral and break more laws need to be made, and eventually you descend into a police state. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. The World and National Council of Churches is their front organization for a one-world religion. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools. And communism stated that if they have two generations of our schools without God in them, they would take our nation. It's been 35 years or so, give or take some. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate and out of step. Let's see here. Keep going. Infiltrate and gain control of more labor unions. Create crippling strikes of major manufacturers or the service industry. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Create a monopoly in the marketplace with them in control. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. And here's one. Treat all behavior problems as psychiatric disorders. They're doing that. They're doing that even with the kids. You know, the images on a basic commercial on television change every second. Pay attention to that, especially if you're in America. I don't know what they do overseas. Probably the same thing. They're creating this frenetic pace so that, you know, subconsciously we just get used to the subject and what we're looking at changing so frequently and rapidly that we just have a hard time concentrating anymore. And they're calling this in the kids ADD, attention deficit disorder. And then they create that as a disease so that they can create a drug for it and make a lot of money and drug the kids up. But treat all behavior problems as psychiatric disorders. And here you go. This follows up on it. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communistic goals. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Break up that family, you know, because that family unit is what God set up. So obviously Satan likes to destroy what God sets up. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve problems. And internationalize the Panama Canal, which they've already done. Jimmy Carter gave that away. But by examining the extensive list of objectives here, you should be able to readily acknowledge that the Illuminati's plan is nearly complete. But it's crazy. And that was from W. Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, which I'm not sure, but that was probably 60 years ago or so. That's pretty amazing, and it's all come to pass. We have enemies within our gates, guys, and they're in our government, and they're projecting one reality in front of the cameras, but there's a very different reality going on behind the scenes. Looking through some of these magazines, it's crazy. There's so much information here. It says in here, it says, let me read this note from the editor, David J. Smith. This was January, February 2003. It says, secret organizations blanketed Europe when our forefathers made their way to the New World. They were determined not to let our new country become overtaken by these sinister forces of evil. In their secret chambers, they worshipped Lucifer, Satan, the devil. This is where they received their power, just as the Bible states in Revelation 13:2. They follow the dictates of their master so as to receive power for their undertaking. That undertaking is a total world government with Lucifer's agents in charge. They will be ruthless, as witnessed in every communist country. Their desire is to have their long-sought-after New World Order by the time of the Age of Aquarius, 2012 AD. We do not set dates, but this is their projected timetable from their own writings. This means they must accelerate the misery and suffering of humanity so that we will finally throw up our hands and say, give us a ruler who will bring peace and prosperity, who will stop this suffering. They are sitting in the wings, just waiting for when that time comes. They have been training their elite core of individuals to take charge when that time comes. To be exact, as we will show in the following pages in the March-April 2003 issue, they have already usurped our government and are running the show politically, economically, militarily, and religiously. They are simply using the economic, political, and military might of the United States to achieve their goals in foreign affairs. When their use of the United States is finished, they will also collapse our nation and send us directly into slavery to the brave new world of the Illuminati called the New World Order. Read on and pray for America. It's rebellion. Seeds of rebellion. The seeds of rebellion were planted a long time ago in this grand experiment called America. And it's all now just starting to come to fruition and come into view what these occultic hidden plans were. They set this country up in fertile soil so that it would become a prosperous nation. They did what it took. There's only one way to do it. There's only one way to make a country prosper. And they figured it out. They set it up. Set it up with a constitution that gave us freedoms, a bill of rights. They set it up as a moral nation. God bless this nation. Christians worked hard for it. And it prospered, and we became a big nation. And when it was time to take it back, all they had to do was just wring the control out of the hands of the Christians. And they did that by pelting the nation with filth and corrupting everything. Corrupting it, you know, from generation to generation, so that every generation that started with a lower moral standard than the one did before it. It's not too hard to see that what they're doing is creating another revolution. And what I'm putting forward to you again, once again, is that are we doing, unknowingly and unwittingly, doing the work of the beast by exposing this new world order? You know, and like I said before, they pretty much got us checkmated because we have to do it. You know, one of our jobs as Christians is to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. It says have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And we're exposing them, but what we've got to do is give people the gospel. Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, "My kingdom isn't of this world. If it were of this world, my people would fight for me." What did Jesus do? He looked at Pilate and he said, "You'd have no power over me if it wasn't given unto you by my Father." We look in Revelation chapter 3 and it says it was given unto the beast to make war against the saints. It was given unto the beast to have a mouth to speak proud, blasphemous words. It was given. It was given. This is what, you know, who's doing the giving? God. He is the almighty sovereign God. And one of the reasons he's allowing this is because his people have turned their backs on him. He says, when all these judgments come and they come to you and ask you, why did God do this? Because you have forsaken me, the spring of living water. God is our life. Freedom comes through obedience to his word. He is the one who creates through his speech. You didn't think this was going to come to pass? He created it when he spoke the revelation. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, it's only when you're in a state of rebellion in your heart that you're looking through those glasses of rebellion at God and not understanding him and saying, I will not bow to him. I don't like that kind of God that does that. If you've got that attitude towards our loving and gracious God, then you've already been bitten by the serpent. You're already got the voodoo spell of rebellion coursing through your veins. And it's only going to take, it's going to take the Lord God Almighty to crash into your darkness and to open your eyes. And even now, some who are hearing this, are, it's even making them even angrier. And I know, I was there. I got to the point that even though I had a Christian education, even though I prayed to the Lord and I went to church and I knew doctrines, I would argue people, you know, on the internet, the sovereignty of God, the 5 points of Calvinism, TULIP, you know, total depravity, unlimited atonement, you know, the depravity of man, or is it limited atonement, unconditional election, the perseverance of the saints, you know, the sovereignty of God. I knew all these doctrines, and I would argue with people. I'd go on news groups and have discussions with them. But, you know, it did me no good, guys. It did me absolutely no good until I came face to face with the power of the Holy Spirit and the risen Lord. He literally gave me a vision on 9/27/01, a vision of light. He shined a light down on me. I went into severe repentance and he shined a light down on me, and that changed me. That changed me drastically. I will never turn away from God. Because he saved me that night, and I was in the pit of my despair. I talk about it a lot, but it was traumatic. You know, it was the most traumatic time of my life. It was literally when I was born again. And the fear of the Lord is to shun evil and is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that takes a little getting used to. And as you get to know him, the fear of the Lord casts out all other fear. When all other fear is gone, you are dwelling in perfect love. Jesus Christ was sent down here to try, not to try, because he always succeeds, he's God, but to plant the seeds of the kingdom. But see, the enemy also plants seeds, and those seeds are the tares, and they are the seeds of rebellion, which is rebellion against God, ultimately. So let me wrap this up. I'm going to read to you something from my MySpace page on my blog, something I wrote a few months back. I thought it would fit in here good, since we're talking about rebellion and how they're trying to create chaos and how they might be using these movements to help break down the old order of things. I thought this would fit in pretty good. It's called The Art of Breaking. They are breaking down America. All the ways out of this are fixed. There is no way out other than a humble repentance and a crying out to God for deliverance. Those that want revolution will cause a breakdown. If the truth comes out about all the falsehood that's going down, it will cause a breakdown. If we keep going the way we're going, immorality will continue, and that will cause a breakdown. If we elect another New World Order stooge for president, that person will keep us on a course that will cause a breakdown. There seems to be a concerted effort to break down the nationalism, patriotism, morality, and religion of this country. Everything is turning towards complaining and attacking this country. Food scares, toy scares, violence, and distrust in our leaders. Yes, there is a reason for all this. That is why it is happening. But any efforts to change this will cause upheaval. We're stuck. Not enough people are of the same mindset to make the change. They have successfully divided us all into various groups of thought. Look what Blackie did to Whitey. Look what Whitey said about Blackie. See what your leaders are doing? Look what so-and-so said. Look at what so-and-so is doing. The media is playing a game. They are playing us against ourselves. Christ said a house divided against itself cannot stand. There's no way out. We are going into captivity because of our sins. We have forsaken God and have not stood for the faith and lived a life that is blameless. We all took the various baits that were offered and fell into the trap. We sinned and were guilty. We have no defenses left. Our righteousness was our wall. It was our defense. And the enemy has broken through that wall. Our moral standards are what held the enemy at bay. His accusations would have been false had we kept our righteousness or our morals. Now, his accusations are true, and we're powerless to defend ourselves. We are falling away and headed down with all those who go down to the pit. We have forsaken the Lord our God and have ran after the plastic images and worthless American dreams. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Our only genuine repentance with weeping and wailing and pleas to our God for deliverance can avert the judgment that is coming. We must turn around and change our ways. We must come out of Babylon and be separate. See Revelation 18. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Otherwise, we will face the day of reckoning." So, well, that ends that. Basically, I was pretty torqued when I wrote that, so I hope you guys got something from that. They've got us boxed in, and no matter what we do, it's going to cause a breakdown, and that's what they want. You know, there's a message in New Orleans, in the disaster of New Orleans, and the Lord says, you know, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. God says that his chariots are like whirlwinds. Well, he brought his chariots against New Orleans. And you know, I know a lot of people want to talk about weather modification, but I think that's giving the Illuminati too much power. I think that's a head trip. I think they want us to think that they have that much power, that they can control hurricanes. Okay? Has anybody ever thought that maybe God still controls the weather? Has anybody thought that maybe God is sovereign? You know, let's not give the Illuminati godlike powers. Let's not say who is like the beast, who can make war with the beast. Let us not glorify the beast and glorify Satan by ascribing so much power to him. We have to remember who sits on the throne. That's our God, and our God is an awesome God. He reigns. To quote a song, God is on his throne. He's in control. But there's a message in New Orleans. He brought that whirlwind against New Orleans. And it's kind of like, it kind of struck me as a symbol because, you know, New Orleans Saints, you know, with the little wheat symbol on the football team's helmet. They built that city in a bowl, basically, where it should not have been built. Except for the levees that held the waters back. And that's kind of what Christians have done. They've taken refuge in the shade of Babylon, in the shade of Egypt. Because all these Illuminati people, they basically worship the sun. And that's what ancient Egypt did. There's a passage in Ezekiel that talks about where God told Ezekiel to dig through the wall and go into the temple and see what the elders were doing, the despicable and detestable things that they were doing. They had turned their backs on the Lord and they were facing the east and they were worshiping the sun. And that's what they're doing to this day. For those people who don't think the Old Testament applies today, it's still going on. He said, "What is this high place that you go to?" I believe it's Ezekiel 20 verse 29, or right about there. He says, "What is this high place that they go to this day?" It's still called Bahama. B-A-H-M-A. And that is a form of a word where they got the word Bohemia from. Bohemian, grove. the high places, the pagan places of worship. They're still doing it. But you picture New Orleans, to get back on track with New Orleans. You know, we have been leaning on Egypt and leaning on a system for our safety. And the picture the levees in New Orleans as being the hidden veil of the occult that has kept all this stuff hidden. And all the lies and all the manipulations and everything they've been doing as the waters that were being held back. Picture the whirlwind that came in, the hurricane is God's judgment, and the saints as the city of New Orleans that built a city where they shouldn't have, relying on the walls of man to keep back the waters. And when God's judgment comes in, he says in Ezekiel 13, he says, you know, your prophets and your leaders whitewashed things for you. They built a wall that was flimsy and they painted it over white. And he said that, you know, I'm going to send hailstones down, hurtling down, and I'm going to break those walls down. And when the walls fall, the people will say, where are all the lies and whitewashed wherewith you whitewashed it? They'll see the foundation. And that's what's happening, is that the whirlwind of judgment is coming in, and those levees are breaking. Those walls are breaking down, and all the lies are flooding in. And what happened to the people of New Orleans? They got scattered. I think there was a message in that. And I think that's what's happening, is that the dragon's opening his mouth like a flood, and all this occultic hidden stuff, the levees are breaking down. The walls that were holding back all of the occultic hidden stuff, those walls are breaking down, and all these flood of lies is coming in, and people are going to be scattered because of it. And a lot of people are going to drown in it. And only those people who are in the spiritual ark that is Christ will float on top of the deception and won't be able to breathe. So I want you guys to be in that ark, and that ark is Christ. So if any of you guys out there don't know the Lord, call out to him. How long will you wait? There's so many people fighting the New World Order, and they're against the Luciferians and against the New World Order, but the opposite side is the Lord. So get on one side or the other. Don't be a monkey in the middle. Take a side. This New World Order is going to come down, and God is going to destroy it with the brightness of his coming and the sword that protrudes out of his mouth, which is the word of God and the truth. And, you know, I want to see you on those heavenly banks of the Jordan one day. It's coming, and it's coming fast. The Lord said, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So, you guys think about what I've said. I know I'm not the most, I don't make the most logical progression. I don't have an outline. I kind of just flow with it, and I was probably all over the place. But if you need to, go back and re-listen to the podcast. I'm pretty sure I got everything out there. You know? Let's expose the New World Order, but let's give people the gospel. And let's not foment rebellion. Let's make this difficult for them. Let's not break down the system and create anger in people so much that they want to create a rebellion. The Lord says, don't rebel like the rebellious people. Let's serve God. Let's tell the truth, and let's make them work for whatever they're trying to do. Let's not make it easy for them. Serve the Lord. Do good. The Bible says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. And I'm sure you see that in your day-to-day dealings with people. You know, people cut you off on the road, you know, people butting in lines, people just not being nice to each other, just being buttholes. And then because so many people are treating you bad, you just can't take it anymore. You're like, you know what? You get the attitude like, you know what? If they're going to do that to me, if you know, people are going to be buttheads to me, I'm going to be a butthead right back. And then it spreads like wildfire. You can't fight evil with evil. It reminds me of the movie, with Bruce Willis, The Fifth Element, where that big ball of evil was coming and they were planning on shooting nuclear weapons at it to destroy it. And the guy said, no, you can't destroy it like that, you know, because you can't use destruction because destruction is evil. And it just, they shot the missiles into it and it just got larger. You can't fight evil with evil. It only makes more evil. The only way, Jesus said, fight evil with good. So that's why he said, bless those who persecute you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Fight evil with good. You know, turn the other cheek. It's just a pride issue, you know. The Lord rewards each man according to his works. And he's watching. And he'll reward you. We serve a good master. He is the good shepherd. And he will never leave you or forsake you. I'm here to testify to that. I would not be alive today if Jesus Christ had not shined his light on me and woke me up and healed my mind and my heart and my spirit. I would not be talking to you here today. And I love the Lord with all my heart. And I'm struggling right along with you. I really am. You know, this New World Order is oppressive. I get up every day and sometimes it just rocks me to come back to reality. I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I'm still in the same world. Oh man, these people are, it's just going to be another day dragging along because I don't want it to advance. I want it to all go away. I want peace. I want to be able to live in peace and be happy. But you know, this stuff's coming and it's going to get worse and it's going to get worse and it's going to weigh down on you. It's going to feel like, you know, you're running a marathon and you're getting tired. But our job is not to save our flesh in this world. We are going to be resurrected. So let's make the remaining time that we have to serve the Lord, to be the light. If you're a true believer, you belong to one of the churches. The true church of God, the church of the firstborn, the living and true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, the holy God. We serve him. Let us do that. Let us be a light. People aren't going to like it. You're going to be exposing the darkness. You're going to make people see things that they don't want to see. They're going to want, you know, to turn that light back out because they don't want to perceive their lives the way the light is showing them that their lives really are. They want to perceive their life with their own rules of good and evil so that they feel better about themselves. They're not going to want to match their lives up with the true rules of good and evil as God says they are. And that's the light. It's going to bother them. And you got to expect that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit does his work of conviction in a person's life, and it cuts away that dead, hardened skin. And hopefully people will respond and break down and repent. Keep up the good work. Keep up the fight. Wherever you are. You know, I know I got listeners over in Europe. People in Sweden, Norway, Great Britain, Germany, France, Venezuela. I got listeners all over the United States, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York. I got people up in Canada, Calgary, Washington State, California, Kansas, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois. You know, wherever you guys are, we're brothers and sisters, and we're going to be together one day. And I'm going to give you guys a big hug. And it's going to be pretty amazing. You guys hang in there. Hang tough for the Lord. Stay strong. Love the Lord your God with all your heart because these are amazing days to live in. These are the days when we can shine bright. You know, they say, well, it's not what they say. It's true. When it gets dark, that's when the stars come out. That's when you can see the stars. So let's shine for the Lord and let's expose the New World Order, but let's be gentle as doves but wise as serpents. Let's not be serpents, but let's be wise as serpents, as our master said. You know, we've got to think a little bit deeper and not be stupid and to fall into these traps. Just like that karate analogy I used earlier, you know, when somebody comes at you in karate, you use their own energy against you. And I think that's what the Illuminati is really doing, is they're using our work against us. They love these people that are atheists that are fighting against the New World Order because they're all about rebellion, and they're just creating that revolution. So let's expose what they're doing, but let's point them to Jesus Christ and show them what's coming. They're creating this rebellion so they can create this chaos, so out of this chaos they can bring their man out of the wings, which is going to be the Antichrist. And he's probably going to lie to people and try to make them think that he's setting up this one world government, this millennium, that it's going to be a golden age. And it's only going to last for a short time, because once everybody's marked and they say peace and safety, then God's wrath comes, sudden destruction. And that, my friends, is what I truly believe is going to happen. And, you know, they're going to have their own set of rules of what is right and what's wrong. And you know, the majority of the world is going to look at us like we're narrow-minded and that we're not right and that we're holding everything back. And you're probably going to, you know, feel pretty bad. You're going to know in your heart and in your spirit that you're doing what's right. But when the way you're feeling compared to everybody else, you know, you're going to look outdated. You're going to, you know, they're going to do a pretty good job of putting a weight of guilt on you, making you think you're the ones that are holding the world back. The Bible says that, you know, there'll come a time where, you know, he that killeth you will thinketh he do God a service. And that's what's coming, and Satan's crafty. So this is going to be the time where you got to hold on to your faith. Hold fast to that which is good. And don't get good and evil confused, because this is a very confusing time. And don't let the serpent deceive you. Let no man deceive you in any way. You hang tough, hang tough, hang tough, all right? I'm going to wind this cast up and going to give you my contact information. You guys can contact me at truestream@podomatic.com, or you can contact me at my personal email address, which is epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com. You guys can visit my site at truthstream.podomatic.com. And if you go down to the contact info box on the right-hand side, you'll see where you can leave comments. It has my email address there. I have on the right-hand side a listener call-in line that you can call if you're motivated to do so. That's 206-350-0054. But what I would really like is if you guys would take some time and make some comments on some of these podcasts. It would be great encouragement to me. Even if you got problems with it, if you got something, you know, you think I'm wrong, let me know. If I don't get any feedback, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So give me some feedback, and I would really appreciate that, honestly. I really would. And we'll talk about it, okay? I love you guys. You hang tough. And anchor yourself to the Rock of Ages and prepare for these days and hold on tight, okay? I love you guys because you're listening, you love the Lord, and God bless all of you. You're in my prayers, and I would ask you pray for me. With that being said, I'm your host, Amos Ridley. Thank you for listening and tuning in, guys. I really appreciate it. And as always, if I don't see you on this side, I will see you guys on the other side.